you would have those bombs falling right here in your own city.
All right, that provoked some response. Go ahead.
My name is John Binkley, and I'd like to say, first of all, to Mr. Collins, that I would like to be proud to be an American, and I hope that someday soon I can again be proud to be an American.
If I was your age, I'd be defending our country.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say to Mr. Heavey that I don't think it has ever been considered cowardly in this country to permit discussion, debate, and a vote on whatever proposition might affect the people of this country. And second of all, I think it is still possible, I hope it is still possible in this country to allow for some divergence of opinion. And I heard the ex-Marine stand up, and I just want to say in my own family, I know that it is possible because I was a conscientious objector, and my brother is now in the Marine Corps. So I think it is possible to allow for some divergence of opinion and vote on a proposition like this. And lastly, I'd like to say that I think it must be unnecessary to exterminate the young and productive people in this country today who do not believe in this war, because there are apparently people who do believe in the war, and they might be willing to take on the responsibility for fighting it.
Yes, sir.
My name is Joe Grogan. I'm an attorney. I'm chairman of Northern California Chapter Americans for Democratic Action. It disturbs me to listen to some of the views expressed, because the implication which they leave is that in order to decide whether or not to vote for or against Proposition P, we have to decide whether the United States is wholly right or wholly wrong in Vietnam. And some of the speakers have suggested that the United States' involvement in Vietnam and every aspect of it is wholly reprehensible, whereas everything about the other side is good and just. And other speakers have suggested that those of us who oppose our position in Vietnam are members of the Communist Party, as one has suggested, or if not that, then at least allied with the Communists. Suggestion has been made that the very act of speaking out against our policy in Vietnam is itself, if not disloyal, at least unwise, because it gives aid and comfort to the enemy. If that were the case, the logical conclusion would be that whenever the President of the United States got United States troops involved in any kind of military action, the public, no matter how strongly it felt on the subject, and their elected representatives, no matter how strongly they felt, would have to keep silent, because to criticize our participation would lend support in the minds of the enemy that perhaps they could defeat us in the political battleground. I do not share that view. I think it's inconsistent with our democratic society. Now, I don't happen to share the view that all is black or white in Vietnam from either side. I do strongly feel that our policy of escalating the war in Vietnam is a misguided one, an improper one, and I would say an immoral one. But the views on the dove side range over a wide continuum, from no further escalation on the one side to immediate and unilateral withdrawal on the other. And perhaps it's characteristic of the political scene, and of liberal political scene in particular, that everyone who adopts a particular point of view tends to urge the position that it is the only legitimate point of view within that spectrum. And there's often more disagreement within the dove spectrum than there is between the doves and the hawks. I think it is time for those of us who oppose our policy in Vietnam and oppose further escalation of the war in Vietnam, on whatever ground, to join forces in an attempt to make our views known. And although I have some reservations about the wording of Proposition P, I don't think it would be possible to word a proposition for the ballot that would express the sentiment of all of those of us who are opposed to our present position. And therefore, I think that everyone who feels, for whatever reason, that our policy in Vietnam is deplorable, that our escalation of the war has been misguided, and that further escalation would be a catastrophe, should vote yes on Proposition P.
Ed Heavey, a number of the things you said at the start have been challenged. You asked for an opportunity to speak again. Go ahead.
If I may, I think if there is one thing I can say without fear of successful contradiction, that I am an exponent and frequently indulge in free speech of a most controversial nature. I do not deny or decry the ranks of citizens who oppose our involvement in Vietnam from freely expressing their honest or dishonest opinion. What I decry, deplore, oppose, and challenge is the right of such groups as the Committee for a Vote on Vietnam to take the platforms of our public schools in San Francisco, as they have done. Tonight is the fifth night for the roadshow, and to vilify and traduce and slander the President of the United States, the Secretary of State, calling the recent predecessor of Bishop Meyer, I heard on September 23rd, refer to President Johnson, our president, my president, the president of all of us, as a Hitler, our fighting troops in Vietnam, as the Nazi Wehrmacht. Those are the things that I say verge on the border of treason. The assembly in front of our federal building yesterday or the day before should have invited the official attention of our tall and brilliant and imposing United States District Attorney for the Northern District of California. But awaiting as he is the smile and the nod of Congressman Phil Burton for a seat on the federal bench, he chose and chooses to be not involved. I'm for free speech. I say the people of San Francisco have an adequate voice in the Congress of the United States with Congressman Phil Burton. He's the only one on a vote on appropriation for Vietnam fighting, the only congressman of over 400 to a vote to oppose it. The votes of I say his younger, more brazen brother, presiding at a ceremony 2 years ago in front of the federal building,
right,
culminating in the raising of the Viet Cong flag, was an exercise in free speech that I call treason.
Lady up here.
School librarian. I understood that KQED had invited us here tonight to express our views no matter which side we are on.
That's correct.
Under those circumstances, I don't think it's appropriate to have partisan posters and stickers up. I wonder if you would prevail upon Mr. Collins to remove those.
I'd like to see those that are wearing the peace button and our flag, the flag of the United States, on these buttons.
They aren't decorating the studio. They are decorating their persons.
What happened to the American flag? We had the auditorium. That was removed from our from the room here.
You don't want it while you're speaking.
Yes.
My name is Bill Robbins. I'm a dentist. I sympathize with you very much, and I was very vehement and outraged at Mr. Heavey's first remarks, but I've come to feel that we ought to thank him, because the true nature of the villainous war in Vietnam is really personified in men like Mr. Heavey and men like Mr. Collins. I am
this gentleman
name is Bill Lau. I'm a student at Stanford University. My criticism of the Proposition P is that it tends to divide a very difficult issue into two basic, simple alternatives. It's forcing the voters of San Francisco to say, yes, I'm for the war in Vietnam, no, I'm against it. And what it's doing is it's ignoring the majority of the people who might have an alternative opinion. To express as an example of this, I'd like to say this audience here is composed of 200 different people. And we probably have 200 different alternatives to Vietnam. But whenever someone stands up and says, I'm for the war, the hawks applaud. Whenever someone says, I'm against the war, the doves applaud. And this typical black and white thinking that we're getting here. And this is what the proposition is doing. In order to get the true opinion of the voters of San Francisco, you'd have to go out and get 1 million different alternatives, put it on the ballot, and ask them to vote on this.
Hi, my name is Jim Thatcher, and I'm a lawyer. And I'm opposed to Proposition P. And I'm opposed to Proposition P because I believe that an affirmative vote on Proposition P is not in the national interest.
That's right.
Now, I believe that you have to come to the conclusion of whether or not this war is in the national interest or is not in the national interest. If you, after an examination of recent conclusion that it's a small domestic affair, I think you could come to the conclusion that it was not a matter in the national interest. If, however, you believe that this is a part of an aggressive policy of a dominating country in Asia to assert the hegemony of Asia, of Southeast Asia, to divide this country from its allies in India and further on into the Persian Gulf with a hostile coalition, then I think that you have to accept the arguments of the Secretary of State and the President of the United States that this is a question of this country's national interest, and if it is, then I think we'll have to see it through, whatever the cost, and how long it takes. Now, I realize that it's difficult for Americans to persevere under difficult circumstances with limited objectives in a limited struggle. And this struggle is a limited struggle when contrasted with the available might of this country. And I would say, as far as that film clip is concerned, I don't think that kind of a document adds anything to a discussion of this nature. We all know war is horrible. It always has been. But I think if you're going to show film clips like that, you better show the film clips of those that didn't fight, of the 6 million that were gassed in Europe, of the Dutch cities that were wrecked, of the crying Frenchmen whose armies were overcome in the field. And I think you can, those of you who can remember the 30s and the struggle that the British nation went through when public opinion wouldn't support any intervention in the Rhineland, when public opinion wouldn't support any intervention in Austria, local European issues, we don't want to get involved. When public opinion wouldn't support intervention in Czechoslovakia, when finally public opinion supported a little quarrel about the free city of Danzig. And while this nation withdrew itself for 3 to 4 years, while a small nation fought on alone against probably the greatest agglomeration of evil that any of us we'll see in our lifetime. Now, if you believe that this matter is in the national interest, then you'll see it through with the President and the Secretary of State. And make no mistake about it, this proposition will encourage hopes of those in Hanoi. I think you have to accept that. I accept it. This is a free nation. There's a right to public discussion. You have a right to make your views known. But I think you have to accept the fact that the fight now is shifting from the battlefield to the political arena in the United States, and a feeling abroad that this nation has not got the will to see this matter through, regardless of its might.
All right, Mr. Thatcher, I think raises an important question that perhaps should be responded to by a member of the committee, perhaps, about the significance of this war in Vietnam. Is it a local civil war? Is it a war of national liberation? Is it a war that has a great deal more significance? I think at the same time, if a committee member would, he might address himself also to this question that's been raised by Mr. Collins and Mr. Heavey about the auspices under which this comes on the ballot. They've indicated that the people who bring it to the ballot are communists or pinks or tainted in one way or another.
I did not say all of those.
Right.
All right. I didn't say everybody that signed that petition was a member of the Communist Party, but I did say that the propaganda value that this will bring is a benefit to those of the Communist Party. There are members of the Communist Party that came from New York. A young girl told me that came from New York that was sent here, sent to San Francisco from New York by the Communist Party of the United States to secure signatures for that petition to get
why
on this
relevant,
ballot.
Why is that relevant, Mr. Collins?
Mr. Wells, you've had your turn.
All right, let's have a response then to the position as Mr. Collins explains it.
This is not take. May I say something, Mr. Wells? I am not a hawk. I might act like a hawk. I'm damn proud to say that I served in our government, that I served in the Marine Corps. I'll say this, nobody likes war. I don't like it or anybody else. I've had men work for me that have come back, 100% disability. But if our government that gives these people here welfare and all these other things that they want, if our government is so kind to these people, why in the hell can't they stand up and be counted as Americans? We're not proud of war. We're not proud to see people that are lying dead. But let's support our government. If you people think you got the answer, then give it to us.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Collins. Now, can we have a response to the points Mr. Collins raises? I think they should be responded to, and also the point that Mr. Thatcher raises. You're a member of the committee.
Right. My name is Ed Farley. I'm chairman of the Citizens for a Vote on Vietnam. Mr. Collins is a very hard act to follow, but I think to start off with, I'd like to address myself to what Mr. Thatcher said, because I think it's a good deal more important to what the people of San Francisco have to decide. And that's summed up in two words, or perhaps three, but two phrases. One is the question of the national interest, and the other is a question of belief. Now, very few of us have the opportunity or the time, as perhaps some of the professors here do, but most of us, and certainly most of the people of San Francisco, can't indulge in a long and complicated study of reading all the treaties and trying to decide as a lawyer whether we have legal obligations, as a theologian what our philosophical and moral obligations are. We're basically left in a position of believing experts. The question is, who are we going to believe? Now, Mr. Thatcher believes Secretary of State Rusk, and he believes the President. I voted for Lyndon Johnson 3 years ago because I believed him when he told me and told the American people that he would bring peace to Vietnam, and Barry Goldwater would bring about this catastrophe of escalating us into a collision with bombing the North and getting us involved with China. I believe Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson was a liar. Lyndon Johnson has done exactly what Barry Goldwater did, said he would do, only Lyndon Johnson said the opposite. A couple of years ago, they told us all we needed was another 100,000 men. All we need is another 50,000 men. We'll have the boys home by Christmas. Generals came untold that. We believed them. They were liars. They've increased. We have now 500,000 American. We have 500,000 American boys in Vietnam, and now they're telling us if we don't stay, China is going to invade. We're going to somehow be involved with China. I've listened to Johnson and McNamara and Rusk for 3 years, and I have come to the conclusion that they are not honest men, and they cannot be believed. I can think of no reason why we should waste the lives of American boys fighting in Vietnam unless there is a clear national interest. I do not see a clear national interest, and I cannot believe the President or the Secretary of State when they tell us their lies, because they've been proven liars, I think. Now, as to Mr. Collins' charges, you can respond. There are many ways you can respond to that. He's told something about somebody from New York that came out to collect signatures for us. All right, you can factually say, well, that's absurd, because everyone who collected signatures had to be a registered voter in San Francisco. To be a registered voter in San Francisco, you have to live in the state a year before you can register to vote. I mean, factually, you can deny it. But the point, I think, is not whether, in fact, people came out from New York, though, in fact, they obviously didn't, because they couldn't.
Why don't you make a test case out of it?
Yeah, a test case in court. We've already had to do that because the registrar of voters said we couldn't vote on it. We had to go to the Supreme Court, which changed his mind on that. I think the significant issue is what the American people want. I think that is important. The people of San Francisco, as a result of 22,000 of them signing our petition, now have a chance to vote on the war in Vietnam. It started with the Democratic Club, the Pacific Democrats, a club to which I'm a member. That's how it started. Other people got involved. We have a whole broad base of people, from Republicans and Democrats to a good many of the people in this room who've spoken out on all kinds of differing positions. They differ with me on the war, some of them, they differ on other things. We're just a cross-section of San Franciscans who wanted to put it on the war on the ballot, and who did so. And now it's on the ballot, and we hope that people of San Francisco seriously examine the question of who they can believe about the war in Vietnam, whether or not they can believe the President and the Secretary of State when they tell us these fairy stories about what they're going to do if we just trust them. And I think the people of San Francisco, on reflection, are going to vote yes on Proposition P, vote yes to bring the boys home and to stop the killing of Vietnam.
Back row.
I think there's been a great deal, as I think we all know, there's been a great deal of polemic on both sides about who's lying and who isn't, and who's moral and who isn't, and who's brutal and who isn't. I think one thing which I have noticed on the part of the proponents of the proposition has been an inclination to dwell on analyzing American society. And I have heard a relatively small number of remarks from the proponents on exactly what is the